Wonderful to see everyone here tonight. So the Torah tells us in this week's Parsha many, many beautiful, beautiful mitzvos. One of them is basic decency. Lo salin pu'ulas sachir itcha ad boker. That one should not delay or withhold wages of a worker until morning. Essentially, a person works, he's entitled to get paid. A person needs to provide for his family, and therefore the assumption will be that if I work, I'm entitled to see compensation for my work. So the Chidah asks a very insightful question that many Rishonim actually ask, and it's very difficult to digest. Let me explain. The Torah defines reality. And whatever we see in this world, the reality that we see in this world, ultimately gives us some idea of what's happening in the next world. So, we have light. The light that we have is just to give us an idea, a glimpse into the Ziv HaShchina, the radiance of God's presence when we come to Shemayim after 120, or the idea, the notion of birds having wings. Those wings are to give us an idea, a little bit, a snippet of wings of Malachim, and so forth and so on. What we have in this world enables us to have an appreciation of something going on in the higher worlds. So if that's the case, then why would it be we work, we do mitzvos, we toil, we learn Torah in this world, and we have no compensation until the next world? There seems to be a lack of chemistry. There seems to be a disconnect between the Torah's commandment of Lo Salin Pu'ula Sachir Itcha Ad Boker, where a person works and he immediately becomes compensated, to what's happening in the higher worlds, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting until a person passes, and only then he is compensated for his work. Perhaps there should be more of a chemistry, a connection between what happens in the next world and what happens in this world. If the Torah is telling us that it's imperative, it's important to pay a worker, you shouldn't pay him later or delay his compensation, so perhaps as well, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the standard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should live by as well, that if we work, we learn Torah, show me my payment. If I do an act of kindness, God, where's my compensation? So why is there this disconnect? Why is it that we are not compensated immediately? That's our first question. Our second question is, the Torah tells us, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, that you shall love your reacha, your neighbor, like thyself. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Rav Shimon Schwab asks a very simple question. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha is a mitzvah, the epitome of a mitzvah that's ben adam lechavero. And Ani Hashem seems to epitomize ben adam lemakom. What's the connection of love your neighbor like kamocha, like thyself? Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Perhaps I understand the beginning of the Torah, Kedoshim Tiyu, right? The opening pasuk or the opening psukim of this week's parsha, comes and tells us that it's important to be holy. Why? Why is it important to be holy? It's important to be holy because I'm holy. As the Torah tells us, interestingly, Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael, say to them, Kedoshim to you, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. So an element of Kedusha, or being holy, seems to be godlike. That's something which is perhaps goes under the umbrella, the purview of Ben Adam Lemakom, between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's something where we're emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's holy, so Ani Hashem, I'm holy. But V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, love your neighbor like thyself, Ani Hashem, seems to be confusing mitzvos, confusing ideas between what our responsibility is to our friend versus our responsibility to Hashem. Ani Hashem is our responsibility between us and Hashem. V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha is our responsibility between us and our fellow Jew. So how do we reconcile the smichos hadvarim, the connection, the juxtaposition of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha to ani Hashem? That's our second question. And our third and final question is based on an idea that's actually brought down at the end of this week's parsha, and it has some connection to what was really discussed in last week's parsha, and really comes to a culmination at the end of last week's parsha. Let me explain. The Torah tells us at the end of this week's parsha that there are penalties for gilui arayos, for forbidden relationships. And the Torah admonishes, or the Torah directs us to ensure that we maintain Kedusha in our relationships, that we don't enter into these forbidden relationships. Ushmartem es kol chukosai ves kol mishpotai. You shall observe all of my chukim and all of my mishpotim va'asisem osam, and you shall do them. V'lo soki eschem ha'aretz, then the land to which I bring to you, lo saki eschem, will not disgorge you, will not spit you out. Velo selechu bechukas hagoy. And furthermore, you shouldn't follow the chukim, the traditions of the Gentile nations that I expel, that I rid the land of before you. And this is an idea that was discussed at the end of last week's parsha, when the Torah as well discussed all of the forbidden relationships. The Torah warns us that Eretz Yisrael is a land of Kedusha, is a land of purity, of Kedusha and Tahara. And therefore, Al Tita'amu B'chol Eila, do not become contaminated through any of these, referring to a slew, a list, many types of forbidden relationships. Don't become contaminated, for through all of these, ki b'chol eila nitmu ha-goyim, the Gentile nations had become contaminated, v'titome ha-aretz, the land became contaminated, and ultimately, again, v'toki ha-aretz es yoshvea, the land disgorged those that inhabited the land before B'nai Yisrael. And obviously, the Torah is referring to the many psukim, the myriad of psukim, or losases, of all the various relationships that Klal Yisrael was forbidden to engage in. That if Klal Yisrael were to engage in such horrific acts, ultimately the land will not be able to have such an impure people. So Eli Baruch Finkel brings down in the name of Reb Mendel Atik, that most of the orayos, most of the forbidden relationships that are written and forbidden in that parsha, were not forbidden to the Bnei Noach, to the Gentile nations. As the Rambam explains in Perek Tes, Hilchos Malachim, Halacha He through Vav, Dirak Sheish Arayos Asuros al Bnei Noach, that only six forbidden relationships, or six distorted relationships, are forbidden to the Gentile nations. Having a relationship with a mother, or the wife of a father, or another person's wife, or his sister from his mother, an animal, and so forth and so on. But there are many, many more relationships that were discussed in the Psukim. So why should what happened to them happen to us? It's not true. What they involved themselves in, the forbidden relationships that the Gentile nations would involve themselves in, they wouldn't be punished or disgorged from the land. So why are we using what happened to them as an example as to what would happen to us? We have many more chumros. We have many more stringencies. What is applicable to us is not applicable to them. And yet God tells us, if you act like they acted in such an impure way, the land will disgorge you. We have two totally sets of commandments. What would disgorge us, what would kick us out of the land, is not what would kick them out of the land. They wouldn't deserve to be kicked out of the land only for committing six offenses. All the others would enable them to inhabit the land. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look at them. Now Rabbi Baruch Finkel explains, you might be suggesting, oh, well, it must be the psukim are referring to those arayos, those six illicit relationships that got them kicked out of the land. He explains not like that. Now's not the time, but he brings a proof that that's not what the psukim are talking about. So what's going on here? And that is my final and third question that was asked by Reb Eli Baruch Finkel in the name of Reb Mendel Atik. So in order to answer this question, we actually have to go to the beginning of last week's parsha. Rashi comes and tells us, why was it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak about the death of Nadav v'Avihu with the tzivoy, with the commandment of restricting Aaron entrance into the Holy of Holies except for a certain time of year? What's the connection between the deaths of Nadav v'Avihu to Aaron's responsibility of Al Yavo b'chol eis el HaKodesh? You can't just come into the Kodesh. So Rashi comes and says, Hoya Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Moshla Moshla. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave a parable. L'chola shenichnos eitzilo rofe. That there was a sick person and a doctor had come and visit him. Amar lo, he tells him, Al tochel tzonein val tishkov v'tachav. Don't eat cold foods and don't sleep in damp places. Bo acher, va'amr lo, al tochel tzonein. Don't eat, another doctor came, and he told him, don't eat cold food and don't sleep in damp places. Shelo tomos kederach shemeis ploni. So you won't die like your neighbor died, like Yenim, like the other person died. Ze zarzo yoser min arisha. That is mizaris that will warn you much more than the first doctor who had come in and warned you about taking care of yourself. Essentially, when you have a model, when you have a template, when you have what to look at, that gives you a greater understanding and appreciation of what your responsibilities are to do or not to do. And I believe that is precisely what's going on here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, look at the Gentile nations. Look at how they conduct themselves. Look how they live their lives. Use them as an example, as a template of what not to do. So indeed, they're only obligated or responsible about six forbidden relationships. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is what they are on their level, you are on your level. In other words, look what happens to a nation who doesn't live Bikdusha Ubitara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using the Gentile nations as an example to ensure that Klal Yisrael remains Kadosh Vitar. So is the Torah comparing them? No. We have different responsibilities. But the Torah is reminding Klal Yisrael, look what happens. Look at a nation. You need to model yourself after a specific set of people to ensure that you remain Kadosh Vitar. I am looking at the Gentile nations so that you should always know how to conduct yourself and how not. And this is not how you should conduct yourself. And that is precisely why we use the Gentiles as an example. Even though we have totally different responsibilities, but like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah told us, for a lesson to have gravitas, for it to have teeth, for it to matter, to ensure that the warning is indeed kept and felt, and the Jewish people understand what their responsibilities are, there needs to be a contrast. And that's the Gentile nation. That we don't act with a lack of Kedusha. We don't act in the ways of impurity. We act b'Kedusha, and we act with Tahara. And conversely, the same way we need a model in how not to act, we also need a model in how to act. The Gemara Maseches Sota tells us, "Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu," that you shall follow the ways of Hashem. It says Chazal, "V'chi efshar lo la'odam lahalech achar shchina." Is it truly possible to follow the Shechina, to emulate the Shechina? Doesn't it not say in a pasuk in Vo'eschanan, "Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochlu," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fire? He'll consume anything or anyone in his way. Ella says the Gemara, "Laholech Achar Midosav." What it means to follow and to walk in the ways of Hashem, it means to emulate Him, to act like Him, to be like Him. And therefore, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malbish Arumim, He clothes those that are naked, so too it is incumbent upon us to give clothing to those that are unclothed. Kodesh Baruch Hu is mevaker the cholim. Kodesh Baruch Hu visits the sick. We emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We visit the sick as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menachem Avelim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and comforts the mourners. We are as well. And so forth and so on. Says Reb Schwab, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha ani Hashem. What that means is, if you want to know how to truly love your brother like you love yourself, if you want to know how to act to another Jew, if you want to know how to be a mensch, if you actually care about another person, and you want to know how to fulfill that mitzvah of V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha ze klal gadol batorah, ani Hashem. Look no further than HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo u'ba'atzmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us how to live our lives in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us what it means to be a mensch, to be a person, to be someone who's a good friend or a good child or a good neighbor or an upstanding person in your respective community. It's not Ben Adam l'chaveiro versus Ben Adam l'makom. It's Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. If you want to know how to be mekayim that mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, look no further than here I am. I'm Am Hashem. I'm right here. If you want to know how to be mekayim the mitzvah, look no further than acharei Hashem lokechem teilechu. Follow Hashem. I am Hashem. He will guide you. He will teach you, says Lashrach, how to be mekayim the very, very sacred, special mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Such a beautiful, beautiful understanding of Rav Schwab. It happens to be, I saw that the Chida says something very, very special. The Chida actually says something beautiful. What does he say? He says as follows. He says that in truth, and the pasuk comes and tells us, "V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha." So the word "ahava" is gematria 13. Aleph is 1, hey is 5, that's 6. Bays is 2, that's 8, and hey is 5. 8 plus 5 is 13. If each person is v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, if each person has love for his friend, I love you and you love me, that totals 26. 26 is the gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That ultimately, if you are mekayim the mitzvah of the l'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, you will be megala the shem Hashem, you will reveal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will be felt. There's no greater kiddush Hashem, says the Chida, than v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Now, ani Hashem, now I belong in this world. And ultimately, with the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, sinas chinam, a lack of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, Kadosh Baruch Hu announced, Ein li mosha ba'aretz, I have no place to inhabit in this world. There's no place that I could have. There's no place that I could be in this world. And ultimately, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's the explanation of the Chida. That's a totally separate discussion than what we're talking about right now. But what Rav Schwab says is that V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, the way to be mekayim it, is to emulate the attributes, the midos, the character traits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo u'ba'atzmo. Now, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides us and He teaches us and He shows us, we can't allow ourselves to be confused with HaKadosh Baruch Hu lowering Himself and humbling Himself to be in this world to what ultimately is going on in the next world. You see, what I described before was we see the light, and the light gives us an idea of what it means to be in the presence, the Ziv Hashchina. Or perhaps we have wings on birds, which give us an idea of what it means for Malachim to have wings that fly. That does injustice to what's happening in the next world. That's just a mere physical thought. But we have no shaychus, we have no connection to what's going on in the next world. What we're going to experience in the next world is Eino Domi. So we ask the question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah says that we don't diminish a person's wages. So then why, and we give it to him immediately, well then why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not give us our compensation in this world also immediately? And the answer is because Eino Dome. There is no comparison. So yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings himself down to this world to guide us, to teach us. But that doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like our best friend. We have to be able to create a distinction between HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowing a great humility that he shows us how to live our lives, while at the same time understanding that he's so removed from us. We have no shaychus, we have no connection to what it means to be compensated for a mitzvah. It would do injustice to receive our reward in this world. So yes, we have an idea, we have an inkling of Hashem. And he humbles himself. And he brings himself down to this world. But let's not confuse that now we have an understanding of really who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And really what the compensation is for the mitzvos that we accomplish. Ain't no doma, there's no shaychus. It's different worlds. He gives the Rishayim their reward in this world. But the tzaddikim, ooh, what awaits the righteous in the world to come. To be able to be in the presence of God is not simply like turning on a light and now there's a light bulb. It's not like electricity. It's an eternal beauty that we can't have a connection to. So perhaps there's a symmetry, there's some, yes, there does overlap. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does come into this world and he guides us and he teaches us and he shows us and he inspires us. But the connection stops there. The compensation of the next world, we have no connection to in this world. We wouldn't want that compensation in this world because compensation in this world is fleeting. It's temporary. It's transient. It doesn't last. But the next world is eternal. To be able to be in the presence of God is an eternal reward. Nothing can possibly duplicate it in the world that we live in. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately, for us to understand how this world works, for us to live in Eretz Yisrael, in this land, he gives us a model. He shows us, don't be like the Gentile nations. Even though they have much less responsibility in Arayos than we do. But to maximize potential, we need a template. The way we're Mekayim Eretz Yisrael is by using the Gentiles as a template. We need a template, and even if it's not exact, we need something that will give us an idea of how not to live. And conversely, we need a template how to live. How to live a life of meaning, of purpose, of fulfillment, of Kedusha, of Tahara. Look no further than Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. You want to know how to live your lives like a mensch? Just follow my lead. Learn to do what I do. But make no mistake, even though we use HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a model, rest assured, there is a disparity of the greatest proportions. There's no connection to this world's reward, the next world's reward, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, what He gives us, versus what ultimately we have waiting for us in the world to come. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Thank you all so much for coming and spending your night tonight with me. Thank you.